So many times in sales, we find ourselves in this situation where we're in search of the big answer. The challenge with searching for the big answer is that it's very hard to find it. It's even harder once you find it, if you're lucky enough to find it, it's even harder to implement it. So today I thought it might be good to have a little heart-to-heart about a completely different way to improve your results. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Dave Brailsford, more formally known as Sir David John Brailsford, is a British cycling coach, and he created this really cool philosophy, and it's called the aggregation of marginal gains. And it's also known as the doctrine of marginal gains. Now, this concept of marginal gains is all about small incremental improvements in any process that results in a significant improvement when we add them all together. Now, you could do this with your sales process. Now, this is actually the process, the methodology, if you will, that I teach to every one of my coaching clients, and they know it, and I think it's just an easier way to describe it. We call it 1% opportunities. In other words, let's find these little tiny things that we can improve upon from the very beginning of the sales cycle. And what I found is that these things are really easy to find, a hell of a lot easier, by the way, than trying to find that big answer. Because if you guys are like me, you're searching for this big answer, and many times, especially if you've been at this for a while, you don't find the big answer. In many cases, you hear thought leaders out there teaching something or offering advice, and you find yourself saying, I know that, or I've heard that before, or that's just a repackaging of something else that I've heard a gazillion times. You'll also find that embracing this concept of tiny little 1% that we can find along the way, it's a lot easier to implement. Sometimes when we find this mega mammoth thing that we have to do, we find ourselves procrastinating. Why? Because, well, there could be a lot of reasons why we do that, but on the surface, probably because it's just a major undertaking. It might take us away from hitting our quota this month or being on track for that bonus at the end of the quarter. You guys know the deal. So the whole point here of finding these little tiny 1% opportunities is so that by the time we reach the very end of the sales cycle, we've created that significant difference. Now, there's a few ways that you could approach this. And you could certainly, let's start with a question. And the question should be, in what ways can I improve this one thing that I'm about to do? In what ways can I improve this by 1%? Or you could word it, in what ways can I improve this a tiny amount, a tiny bit? In what ways can I make this a tiny bit better or a tiny bit more effective? Now, ideally, you'll go back and you'll think about this from the very start of your sales process or your sales cycle. And you can dissect and you can improve these little, make these tiny little improvements. My suggestion is, while that other way that I just told you would be ideal, I know a lot of you guys, because I'm in sales too, it sounds like a lot of work. So here's something else that you could do. It's not going to be as good as that first idea that I shared with you. But what if whatever you find yourself doing throughout the day, it's going to be hopefully a sales-related task. You simply focus on that task and how you could make a tiny 1% improvement. So let's talk about some examples. What if you find yourself right about to send an email? You can ask yourself a question. How do I improve this a tiny bit? Or how do I fix this by 1%? You're about to make a cold call. How can I improve this tiny bit? You have a meeting coming up, and maybe you're prepping for it. How do I improve my research and my prep? How do I start that meeting more effectively, right? You're thinking about that meeting you're going to have. In what ways can I start that meeting with that prospect or with that client or to resolve that issue? In what ways can I start that more effectively? How do I ask better questions? What's a better question to start with? How can I word something differently or package it differently? Let me give you some generic ideas and some generic ways that you could make tiny 1% improvements. When I learned this, by the way, it just opened up so many doors for me. So look at it like this, all these little things I'm about to share with you. How about adding something to your sales process? Is there something that you can add to the process? Let me give you an example. One of the things I've taught here on the podcast, I've certainly taught it in all the programs that I teach, is before an appointment, adding something to your process. Most people, they set an appointment. Okay, we're going to have a meeting next Thursday. And that's that. You show up for the meeting, or you pick up the phone and you call for that conference call, or you jump on that WebEx or video conferencing, whatever it is that you're going to define as a meeting. But what if we were to add something to that, and prior to that meeting, you would send a pre-appointment kit. And in that pre-appointment kit had your bio so that people had an idea of the fact that they're going to meet with somebody who knows what they're talking about. It's a nice way to show your expertise to someone. Perhaps in there's an overview of some of the services that your company offers so that they're thinking about it before you get there. Maybe there's a testimonial or two that are calling you by name from your existing clients. Not just talking about the company and the results, but mentioning you because people buy you before the company and your widget and the things that they're looking to get. And maybe put some other things in there too, which I'm not going to go into every detail about it because it's not a podcast about the pre-appointment kit. But that might be something that you could add to your process. The other thing that you can do, let me give you an example. I was looking at something that I could add to save time. Think about that. It sounds kind of ridiculous. How do you add something to save time? Well, I was looking at how many times I was going into my phone. And I've read all kinds of studies on this saying that the average person checks their phone, I believe it's north of 100 times a day. And the minute I heard that, I didn't even have to question it because seriously, I think our society has gotten this whole addiction to their phone. They have this whole addiction to the phone. Like, we're all walking around. What do we have in our hand? It's the phone. We're out many times at some kind of dinner or some kind of an event. What do we have in our hands? It's a smartphone. And we all know that if you don't check the phone in the moment that something happens, the world ends, and you will have missed the memo. So I was looking at how many times I go into my phone a day. I wasn't tracking it or anything like that. I was just mindful of the fact that I go in there a lot. And I'm almost afraid to admit this on a podcast because you guys are going to think I'm a total moron for saying this, but I want to let you know how human I am and how dumb I can be at times. But I had my apps just in no particular order on the phone. And I knew the general area that the apps were in, especially the ones that I go into all the time, like my banking and my social media apps and my audiobook app. And my podcast, I knew where they were, but they were buried in just like somewhere, I had a ton of apps. So the first thing that I did was I started to say, well, what can I remove from the process? Because it's like adding and it's removing. So I removed some apps that like I never use. Then what I did was I added folders to this whole thing, right? I mean, kind of organization 101, but I wasn't doing it. I knew it, by the way. If you told me you should add folders to your phone, I would have said, duh, yeah, thanks, Captain Obvious. But meanwhile, I wasn't doing it. And I decided to add these folders and not only organize them properly and cluster like apps with other like apps, like all my social media apps together, all of my finance and business apps together, all of my learning apps together, all of my leisure apps together. What I did was I also organized what screen that they would appear on. My most extensively used apps I put on the first screen, and then had it just kind of just go downhill from there, if you will, with the ones, like, by the time I got to the ones who were just like totally just useless, I got to the third screen on my phone. So that was something that I did. And if you multiply that one by how many times a day that we're going into our phone, it could result, just on a daily basis, a significant amount of time savings. Multiply that by a week, multiply it by 52 weeks in a year. That's where you start getting that whole concept of a tiny 1% change. So we've got this idea of adding something. We've got this idea of removing something. Also, too, look at your sales process. Look at any activity that you're about to do and ask yourself, well, would it make sense that I increase the frequency of that activity? Or how about the opposite of that, decreasing the frequency of that activity? Also, on a similar note, change the order change the order or the sequence of things that you do. You can also consider substituting something, combining two or more things. Look at how you're saying something. Can you package it differently? Let's stop there for a second. I'm just a huge advocate of all of us becoming students of packaging. Become a student of packaging. Everywhere that you go, every meeting that you have, every phone conversation you have, and by the way, just backtracking, every meeting, internal, external, it doesn't matter if you're going to a meeting and you're meeting with a potential client, an existing client, an internal meeting with your sales manager, one-on-one type of meeting, pay attention to how people phrase things. Because when you do and you put on that humble student's cap, you're going to hear many times that people have a better way of saying something than you do, or they might use a word differently. They might have a different order that they present an idea that you're presenting. So think about that as well. That could be a very, very big thing. So what I was going to suggest next is you also want to look at something that you might be doing already, but you find yourself saying, I know that, I'm doing that already. And I mentioned that before, because many times, if you've been in sales, even like a year or two, there's a lot of things you've encountered that everybody is saying it, but in a different way. I mean, how many times have you heard you should write a thank you note? Or how many times have you heard somebody saying, when it comes to your questions, you should find the pain? But now, what you want to do, in the past, what I've always told people to do is, when we used to call it the sales 101 trap. The sales 101 trap is when, or the I know that trap, is when you hear something, you say, well, that's sales 101, or that's basic, and then you dismiss it. Or the I know that trap. You hear somebody saying something, and you find yourself saying, yeah, I know that, duh. Captain Obvious, that's basic. Well, then what you need to do at that point, the way I always taught it in the past, and we're going to change it up in a minute, was you ask yourself, well, wait a minute, do I know that and I'm actually doing it? Or should I shut my mouth and actually start doing it? And just because you did it years ago, or when you started, or 3 months ago, doesn't mean that you're doing it now. Doesn't get you off the hook. Sales is not the kind of thing, well, you do that at the very beginning and never do it again. It has to be really an ongoing thing, especially with certain tactics that we use in sales. It's not something, well, it's meant to be used once, and then you graduate from that, and you never, ever do it again, and you get to tell people, you've earned the right to say, I know that, but I'm not doing that. But you see, now, what I want you to do is change that up and go a step further and embrace this little 1% concept that we've been talking about today. When you find somebody who's offering something that you've heard a million times, or you find yourself saying, I know that, or duh, or you're doing an eye roll because, geez, come on, man, I know this. Everybody knows that, duh. It's basic. It's too simplistic. What you want to do is change the way you think about that kind of stuff and change it to, wait a minute, I know that. I might already be doing that, but how can I get a 1% improvement? Imagine that. Every time you came across something And instead of saying, I know that, or duh, or that's basic, or that's too simplistic, or that idea isn't sexy enough, or it's not as elaborate as I wish it could be, well, wait a minute. How can I take that idea and make a 1% improvement? Or, again, it doesn't necessarily have to be that idea. It could be, okay, I acknowledge that I've known this and I've been doing it since day one. I've been doing it forever. But in what ways can I get a tiny 1% improvement? Now, I want to throw one more thing at you, and then we're going to wind this one down because I'm trying to make these podcasts just a lot briefer. There is a formula that inspired me a little bit today, and I threw it in there in my own words, but I want you to go right to the source. There is a really cool book that I recommend to all of my clients, and it's really a creativity book and will help you a lot with that. And the name of the book, and then we're going to talk about a tactic from the book that inspired me today, but the name of the book is called Thinker Toys by Michael, I believe you pronounce his name, Michalko, and it's M-I-C-H-A-L-K-O. Michael Michalko. And in that book, there is a, I think they refer to it as, I don't know if it was a problem-solving technique or if it was a creativity technique. It can certainly be both. And they call it, and it's an acronym, by the way, they call it SCAMPER. SCAMPER. And we spell it S-C-A-M-P-E-R. SCAMPER. S-C-A-M-P-E-R. And what that stands for is, and I want you to use this as your guide for finding tiny 1% improvements in everything that you're doing. So the S stands for substitute. The C in SCAMPER stands for combine. Combine. The A stands for adapt. The M stands for modify. The P stands for put to another use. The E stands for eliminate. The R stands for reverse. So perhaps that could be very helpful to you. And certainly, if you were to pick up the book. And there's a lot of books out there that I know you guys prefer, like me. I'm a big audio guy when it comes to books. I like having apps like the Audible app, which I'm not affiliated with, but I love them. They're awesome. But there are other things that are more not necessarily a cover-to-cover read, and that are more of a reference type of book for you. And I really believe that Thinker Toys book is one of those things. So there you have it, folks. It's a different, more manageable way to improve your results by focusing on the aggregation of marginal gains, or simply put, tiny improvements at each step of the sales cycle. Now, if you'd like some ideas on how you can find these little improvements, these little 1% moments, consider joining us for our Rockstar Academy program, and you can learn more by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. With that, I'm Paul Castain. From yoursalesplaybook.com, I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Come visit our blog at yoursalesplaybook.com/blog.